Well, good morning, saints. And good morning, sinners. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, beginning with verse 34. As for a few moments, we address the topic, don't come unhinged. Don't come unhinged. And in the tradition of the early church, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Hear now the word of God. Matthew 22, beginning with verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets," and this is a very interesting word, "hang on these two commandments." Almighty God, just give us Jesus. We're walking through so much. Our society is in such turmoil. We need to know where to turn. We need Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's only 2 days until we celebrate a major event. Are you getting ready for it? I know that you cannot wait for this major celebration. What is it? All Hallows' Eve, which morphed through the years into Halloween. Well, that's not the one I'm talking about. This Tuesday is the celebration or commemoration of the Protestant Reformation. 500 years ago, on October the 31st, 1517, an Augustinian monk and teacher in Wittenberg, Germany, twice posted a list of specific theological complaints against the practices and beliefs of the church of that day. On that date, Martin Luther sent or posted his copy of the declarations and questions to one named Albert of Brandenburg, the Archbishop of Mainz. And he posted, that is, physically nailed, his pamphlet of 95 theses on the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And in doing so, he summoned the people of God and the hierarchy in the church to a theological debate. Such an inauspicious beginning 500 years ago launched what came to be known as the Protestant Reformation, a watershed event in the life of the church. And such a reformation reclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ for the church, and it rebooted a scripture-based faith for the church. It gave us the five solas of the church, that is, by grace alone, by faith alone, by Christ alone, by Scripture alone, and by God's glory alone. I tell you, that is powerful and that's worth celebrating. Yet, there is a downside to the Protestant Reformation. It spawned a series of divisions within Christendom, within the church. The major division happened this way. Eventually, the Protestant Reformation led to a division between Catholics and Protestants. What followed was this: acrimonious debates, acerbic language, vituperate dislike. I know that this has broken the heart of God, and it's deeply hurt our Christian witness in the world. But it doesn't stop there. There's also divisions within Protestants. Early on in the Reformation, we had not a Reformation, but we had reformations. There was the Lutheran Reformation that Luther inaugurated. But others were dissatisfied, like Zwingli in Zurich and Calvin in Geneva, and they launched what became the Reformed aspect or tradition of the Reformation. It did not stop there. England had its say, and the Anglican Church was born out of a fight with the Catholic Church, but it did not stop there. Anabaptists emerged. Anabaptists, the rebaptizers, they were persecuted by the Catholic Church, by the Lutheran Church, and by Calvin's Geneva. A decade ago, one of the most insightful interpreters of modern American religion, Martin E. Marty, said in The Christian World, a book that he published about the history of the Christian church for laymen and laywomen. He said, there are 2.2 billion Christians in the world, and there are 38,000 denominations throughout the world. Now, if you Google, you'll find some saying there's over 60,000 denominations. Amazing. So, when I talk about the Reformation, here is the word that I use. I prefer commemorating the Reformation rather than celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. The word commemorate conveys dignity and weighty significance. But I tell you, it is very hard to celebrate a division within the church. And if anyone's ever walked through a division, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So how fitting that on the eve of this event, we read Christ's words in the gospel that unite all Christians, all disciples, upon one great proclamation, and it is this: love God with all of yourself and love your neighbor as yourself. So, with that being said, let's jump into the text this morning. As you know, in our study of the Gospel of Matthew, by this time in the Gospel, Jesus is having one question after the other. Sadducees, Herodians, and now the Pharisees take their turn. You can almost feel the noose tightening around Jesus' neck. The cross weighs in the balance. Jesus knows it, and they're slowly pushing him that direction. And so the Pharisees gather in a holy huddle, and they send one of their experts to ask a singular question in order to trap Jesus Christ. And here's the question: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, the serious rabbis of that day knew that there were 613 commandments in the Old Testament. 248 of them were positive, you know, thou shalt. 365 were negative, thou shalt not. Now, the strict rabbis held a conviction that all of the commandments were equal in significance and import. So, if Jesus lifted one commandment above the other, he would be exposed as a liberal. This was a trick question to tighten the noose around Jesus' neck. But without hesitation, Jesus Christ offered not one commandment, but two commandments from the Hebrew Scriptures. First of all, he said this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. This, he said, is the first and the greatest commandment. This was Jesus' way of saying, love God with all that you are, from the top of your mind to the bottom of your heart and all in between. Give it all to God. Then he said this, the second commandment is just like it. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now that comes from Leviticus 19:18. In other words, Jesus is saying this, love others by asking, how would I like to be treated here in this situation or that situation? How would I like to be treated? Now, he said, the first is this, and the second is like it. What does that mean? Please lean into this. He says, the first commandment that I gave you is first. And the second commandment is second. But the second is equally important. Now let's go a step further. The second commandment, he says, flows out of the first commandment. So we have a commandment of first priority, but the second is equally important because the second flows out of the first. Have you ever tried to love someone without loving God first? It breeds cynicism. It can foster anger. It can make you cynical, but when we give all that we are to God Almighty, all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and we live out of the overflow, we see and we treat people differently. But even now, Jesus has not gotten to the kicker. He says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, the Greek word for hangs means this. It means to be dependent upon, or it means to hang from, as an object hangs from a nail. The whole Bible hangs from these two commandments like a door on its hinge, like a door on a hinge. As beautiful as a door is, as ornate, as much safety as it provides, for it opens and it closes, the door cannot do that if it is not hinged appropriately. Now, follow me deeper into this. We need, and this is very important, we need the rest of Scripture to teach us, that's the door, the rest of Scripture is the door. We need the rest of Scripture to teach us exactly what love of God and love of neighbor looks like. Now let me give you another image to translate that word hangs upon. Read the Bible with your Jesus glasses on. That is, through the lens of loving God and loving others. So when I open the Word of God in my devotional studies, Jesus says the right way to interpret Scripture. Now this is beautiful. So many people say, how am I to read this book? There's so much here. Jesus gives us the interpretive guide. He says, read it with the idea of how to love God with all that you are and to love others as yourself. Oh, what a world it would be. What a world of difference this would make if we use these commandments as the hinge to open the door of Scripture to know what to let in and what to keep out of our lives. So don't come unhinged in an age of deep division and debate. Don't get off track. Stay focused on what truly matters. To Jesus, the matter is quite simple. Love God with all that you are and to love your neighbor as yourself. To let that love of neighbor, that love of others, overflow out from your love of God. So read Scripture. Read all of it, and it will tell you how to do that. I sought for many ways for an illustration on how to apply this, so would you allow me to be quite personal? Does anyone know the lady in green? Do you know who that is? That's my mama. This picture appeared on the front page of the Shelby Daily Star in Shelby, North Carolina. I found out about this picture through my sister-in-law who texted Donna, who told me. Mama has never yet to own up to this picture. Here is what it's about. The caption reads this way. Hospice volunteer Carrie Adams playing bingo with Edna Gosnell at Shelby Manor. Mama is a hospice volunteer. She retired as a nurse at age 74, and wept like a baby whose favorite toy had been taken away. She retired with the lead doctor in Shelby, North Carolina, who himself retired at age 88. They were and are an institution in Shelby, North Carolina. The lady with the oxygen in the picture, her name is Edna. Here is what she says. A lot of times, all it takes is a smile and a hello. You see, Edna is under hospice care. While only God knows how long her life will actually be, it usually means, under hospice terms, 6 months or so. The writer of the article said this. For Gosnell, those kind gestures often come from Carrie Adams, a hospice volunteer and former nurse who dedicates time to visit Gosnell each week. Now, here's how this came about. My father died of vascular dementia. Every week, a gentleman by the name of Bob Chadwick would come by and visit with my daddy. My daddy would no more remember that visit than when Bob left. But for those moments, and I witnessed this, my father would come alive because Bob would joke with him, would cut up with him, would spend hours at a time with him. And my mama had a few moments that she could catch her breath and run a few brief errands. When my daddy died 2.5 years ago, the very next week, my mother became unofficially connected to hospice as a volunteer. She's now officially connected. But the very next week, she was helping another woman pack her home because her husband had dementia and both of them needed to move and be closer to their children. Every week you will find Carrie Adams, my mama, making a difference in somebody's life out of the pain of losing her husband, when she could have said, I've gone through enough of that, and I'm going to tell you, for any of you who have lost someone you love, you know the questions that you raise to God. I never understood why my father had to suffer like he did. I never did. But my mother knew something based on her love for God. The greatest way to work through your grief is to take up the towel and the basin and go serve someone else in need. So, yes, in this picture, my mother's playing bingo. Do you think she loves bingo? Somewhat. But you'll also find her cleaning the room or even reaching up to put something on a shelf that Miss Gosnell cannot do. Anybody grieving here this morning? Anybody having a pity party? Anybody angry at God? Anybody disillusioned with the faith? Hear the singular message of Jesus Christ. Love God. Even when you can't understand him, even when you can't comprehend him, trust him because of what he did for us on the cross. If he did that, even though we can't trace his hand in our life, we can trust his way. And when you love him and stay on that singular focus, before long, you'll overflow and you'll find someone to pour your life into, and you will find hope and healing along the way. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, as we come to this time of invitation, I don't know where each person has walked in this most recent week, but you do. I do not know where each person is in his or her walk with Jesus Christ. It's difficult at times to know exactly where I am. We come feeling spun around with loud, cacophonic voices shattering our eardrums. We want to hide. We want to run away. And you're saying, love me. And overflow that love to other people. So, O Lord, our God, we pray right now that you will prick our hearts, that you will convict us of our ways, that you will transform our hearts and our minds, and lead us to step out during this time of invitation, to receive you as Christ, to rededicate our lives, to join this church, or for whatever other decision, to make our peace with God. We pray this in the strong and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 556. As God leads you to respond, step out, come forward, let us pray with you. Just give us Jesus right now. Let's stand and let's sing.